Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed you are joining us for part two of what turned into an amazing three-part interview with Dr. Candy Campbell, a.k.a. Florence Nightingale. Praise God. I interviewed Candy for the first time about a year or so ago as we are talking about improv to improve healthcare and her book by the same name that she wrote. But this year, she has been invited to conduct her own program, her own presentation, just off Broadway in New York City on the same topic, improv to improve healthcare. But she's representing Florence Nightingale. Folks, this is just tremendous. And if you are in the New York City area, I urge you to, she's doing this right now as this episode is being published, okay? So there's links down in the show notes below. You can click the links, go order your tickets, go watch this performance. It is absolutely astounding. And after the show, you get to meet her, tell her Pastor Bob sent you, all right? But today, we're going to continue our discussion on improv to improve healthcare. And I'll be talking to her about management style and all of this because, folks, this is something that she helps business leaders with all the time. This is what she does on her regular job, I guess you could say. Amen. But the important thing is we need to make sure that we use the proper management techniques, proper representation. You know, you don't get in there and yell at people. It's all about building relationships. Relationships with your employees, relationships with your customers, relationships with the management team, and between the management teams. And Candy is right there to help you do that. So for right now, we're going to jump right back into this interview now with Candy Campbell. And you developed a solo presentation, you know, around her. Why did you pick her to portray in the show?
I think this must be a bit of divine, I don't know about intervention, but pushing. I'll tell you a funny story. One year, it was 2010. It was the anniversary of, I don't know, it's kind of a funny anniversary, of 100 years of her death, after her death. Mm-hmm. So academics, we're talking about it, and our academic librarian who was assigned to the School of Nursing at the University of San Francisco, where I was there, came into a faculty meeting and said, hey, y'all, you know, we've got all this in this year of celebration. What happened was the British Library and others have digitized all of her 200 books and articles and over 10,000 of her letters. And come on down, you know, got them. You can read them. Amen. And so I just, for fun, one day when I had some time between, you know, whatever, I'm prepping for classes, I went over and figured out with the librarian how to access these things. Because in 2010, it wasn't always clear to me, you know, you're in a university, there's ways you have to do this. Yeah. And then she gave me a code that I could use at home or wherever. And, you know, I just started at one place and started reading. And it was so fascinating because the woman, well, she didn't have television or movies or anything to distract her.
Yeah.
She wrote so much and she was really a good secretary of her own life. She was the journalist of her life. And one of the reasons was, it was kind of like meditation for her in a lot of ways. And I don't know, have you ever done, do you journal, Bob?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sure, well, so that's, I mean, a lot of the letters are showing her kindness and generosity with other people, because once she came back from the Crimean conflict, she got famous. And that's why my show is called An Evening with Florence Nightingale, The Reluctant Celebrity. She didn't want anything to do with it, but, you know, she had to put up with it. But she was so kind and so generous with her knowledge and with her time.
Amen.
Now, amen. You ask the question, why her? There's nobody like her that I have found. And I hope one day, as kindred spirits, when we're, you know, in the heavenly realms, that we'll be able to have a nice long talk. She didn't ever say no to God, and that was not easy.
Yeah.
She came up against a lot of people who put her down or didn't appreciate, because the common way in Victorian England was, you know, you're a woman, you're a homemaker, and, you know, we have Paul's words about the role of a woman.
Yeah.
And she was conflicted because she felt God called her to help, to help women in social reform, you know, to have honorable work. You know, she looked around and she saw a lot of women who were not in the aristocracy. Let's face it, we say we don't have a class system here, but we kind of do.
Yeah, yeah.
You have education and a way to make a living, but it was the same there. If you don't, not very many people had education. Not very many women, mm-hmm. certainly had education. Yep. Hers was an unusual education of her time.
This was even before women's suffrage here in the United States.
I mean, exactly,
this was a while ago. You know?
Exactly, and in that regard, there was there were a couple of other British women who came before her. Many years before her, but in terms of not just writing, but doing, you know, establishing the very first school of nursing in Britain, which still exists, to try and get honorable work and safe childbirth for women, to work hard with, the legislative policies of the time. You know, she had to be behind the scenes. So she had a whole covey of thoughtful men who were instructive and very instrumental in helping pass these mm-hmm. social reforms, which she sort of guiltified them into doing.
Amen. Amen. Now, when you give your presentations, you're out there on stage. I mean, you go all out. I mean, you dress in the time period fashion, but you just don't go deliver a monologue and leave it at that. You interact with the audience. You take questions. You know, your website says, what would Florence Nightingale say about healthcare today? And what advice would she give? Do you only perform this for like healthcare related audiences, you know, health conferences and stuff like that?
Happily, no. Those in the last several years when we mounted the show to begin with, yes. And mind you, when I first gave it in 2014, one time, I was full-time faculty. And you know, that's a lot of work. I only gave it a couple of times a year at different conferences. And then when I retired from my faculty position at the end of 2019, I had 12 contracts in 3 countries to do the show.
Amen.
And then COVID came, right?
Oh,
so in the meantime, I've done it virtually for the public theater. I've done it in person for another one. Those two of them were in California. And then recently, now that I'm on the East Coast, here in the Baltimore area, I did a public performance. But that to say, the show is going to New York soon.
Amen. I was going to say, you just have an announcement to make. Go ahead.
Well, it's it's basically a dream come true for the show. We've been invited to the United Solo Theater Festival, which is the preeminent solo theater festival probably in the world. If you look on their website, unitedsolo.org, you'll see quite a lot of famous names have shown there, mm-hmm. have started, launched is the word I wanted. And this is off-Broadway, and I mean like five blocks off-Broadway. It's very close off-Broadway at Theater Row on 42nd and 8th Street. So opening night is March 7th at 7 p.m. If you're interested, anybody who's in the greater New York area or wants to toddle on over, I'm very excited. And then we'll be in residency for 2 weeks. Mm. I don't know all the dates yet, but that will be, by the time this airs, you'll be able to get tickets at unitedsolo.org. Oh, no, wait a minute. It's Theater Row. .org, I think that's where the tickets are.
Okay. Yeah, I'll put links to that in the show notes below. Oh, great. That way make it easy for people just to click it and order the tickets. But this is awesome. That's great news.
Thank
Praise
you.
The Lord. Amen. And how long is the show going to run?
Runs you mean the timing of the actual show?
Yeah, the how many nights?
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure yet. It has a lot to do with butts in seats, as they say.
Okay. Okay.
So it's anywhere from 4 till 8 times. And I'm, wow. I don't know. So,
praise the Lord. This is awesome.
Yeah.
This is awesome. I have a feeling we'll see pictures of this on your website.
Yes.
Go figure, right?
Yeah.
That is awesome, dude. That is really great. And you also have a TED Talk on this subject, right? Or you're getting ready for one?
I have to tell you, I'll have to come back about that because I've put it on hold. So many other things are happening. Mm-hmm. That I just can't, doing a TED Talk, you have to apply and all audition all these.
Yeah.
And so that is also going to be on the subject of improv.
Yeah.
But I've had this to put awesome that on news. Hold. I just don't, there's only so much time in a day.
What are you doing at 4 o'clock in the morning?
Sometimes I'm up.
Amen. That's usually my response to when talking about, you got to read the Bible, you need to spend some quiet time with God. So I just don't have time. I said, what do you do at 4 o'clock in the morning? You can make time if you really want to,
Well, on that end, I often, when people say, oh, I have a terrible time, I toss and turn, I'm like, really? That's very interesting because years ago when I was tossing and turning, I thought to myself, you know what? Maybe this is the Lord trying to get a hold of me. And so every time and I don't often wake up from sleep, but when I do at 4 o'clock or whatever, I say, okay, here I am, Lord, the Samuel moment. Here I am, Lord.
What do you need?
What do you need? What is it? And it's so often. Of course, I joke with my kids that I go to prayer and that puts me to sleep every time.
Yeah, amen. But see, I look at whenever I'm tossing and turning like that, I don't usually, if the Lord's prompting me, I sense it type thing, like I've got a clear direct in mind. Okay, we got to do this type thing. And when I'm just can't sleep, I say, okay, Satan, you want to keep me awake? I'm going to go read the Bible.
Ooh.
And pretty soon I notice I sleep all night long. He's like, if I wake him up, he's just going to get back in the word and get even stronger. So just leave him alone. Let him sleep.
Exactly. I always used to tell my kids what I want out of life is to be the kind of person that when my feet hit the floor, Satan says, oh, damn, she's awake.
Yep. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. Let's talk about your new book a little bit before we get ready to close. Now, we've had, more disruption now than basically at any time in our history. I mean, it's been happening for decades, but the past few years have really shined a light on some of these problems, the scope, the pace, the intensity of changes that we're witnessing. I mean, we are living truly in unprecedented times. In addition, the pandemic caused all these other problems, you know, and while most organizations struggled in some ways, many have basically almost had to rebuild from the ground up, you know, because everybody decided they wanted to work from home instead of coming to the office.
And well, they had to.
Yeah. Well, now the people say, I like this, you know, type of thing. So, you know, they had to rethink everything, how to operate. One of the big consequences, of course, is I guess it's being called now the Great Resignation. You know, employees, they like the concept of, you know, telecommuting or whatever they want to call it. And they want jobs that appreciate what they do, but yet honor their time and all this stuff. And they've gotten focused on what they want from their jobs instead of just, well, I'm here to earn a paycheck. They want something back from the employer. If their employer is unable to provide the quality of the life work balance they desire, they look elsewhere, you know, because right now everybody's hiring. So they got, you know, I don't need $10 an hour here. I get 20 over here type thing. And many businesses across many spectrums are trying to reinvent their systems and the way that they handle their employees and all that. So how does a business find their footing in that whirlwind of change? I mean, you know, how do these leaders make decisions in the face of so many unknowns today? You know, and you have written this book, How to Improv Your Leadership Team, that answers some of these questions for us. So give us a little bit about your book.
Thank you, Bob. This particular book was conceived a long time ago. I have 4 books conceived on the Improv to Improve idea. The first one, as you mentioned, we talked about before, Improv to Improve Your Healthcare Team. But this one, I was slated because I'd already, been accepted by a major publisher. It's Business Expert Press in conjunction with Harvard Business Press, that I should write it. And then it was COVID. So I thought, okay, the idea that I had to write it changed just a little bit because of everything you said. But the principle of the book did not change. And as an improv actor, and I, you know, co-founded my own improv company there in the San Francisco area years ago, before or after I was asked the very first time to facilitate an improv workshop for Silicon Valley startup, where there were engineers who just weren't happy with each other. They didn't get along at all. And that, of course, led to problems with output. If you can imagine, any creative problem solving just didn't happen because there was no trusting working relationship there. I thought, well, this is the perfect time to really speak to the leaders, because again, when you look in the Gospels, I think that Jesus being the great example of a leader is not a person who stayed, he would never have stayed in his office with the door closed, barking orders like some sort of king. Right. I mean, it was king, but no, Jesus is the ultimate servant leader, so much so that he gave his life. Now, that's not asked for in our business leaders. You don't have to give your life, but you do in one way, meaning you have to think outside the box. Amen. and make an atmosphere that creates a trusting culture so that people really want to stay, you know, be the leader that nobody wants to leave.
Yeah.
And how do you do that? Well, it's been my experience in all of these years of facilitating, using what I've honed down to, or I've made into 12 improv principles. They are principles that are very helpful at work, but also in your personal life. And they kind of are based on the servant leadership model.
Amen. Amen. And servant leadership doesn't mean you got to bring your workers coffee every morning.
No.
Might want to make sure it's provided for them, but you don't have to serve them. And servant leadership is basically putting yourself out there for the sake of the team, right?
Well, you know, in comparison, I had to laugh. I mean, I I don't know if you heard or read about, but certain social media entities that have had a lot of trouble lately. There was a little video clip that I saw from somebody who worked at one of these big famous places that has to do with a bird. I'll just say that. Mm-hmm. And it was their first day, and they had their little phone, and they were saying, "Hey, look at this. This is my first day." There was like a wine bar and a place to do yoga and all ping pong table, whatever, all of this stuff there to create this family-like atmosphere. And what happened? Not a lot of output.
Yeah.
So it's not about trying to be a family where you're basically in prison, because they were talking about, you know, having to stay so many hours. But I'm sorry, if they were over at the wine bar, no wonder they had to stay a lot of hours.
Amen. And get paid while they were at the wine bar.
Exactly. Exactly. No, right. It really has to do with the fact that no matter what your business is, we're all in the people business.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, Jesus' message, his basic core message of love God and love people, has everything to do with how we lead our professional life as well. Yeah. And drilling down to that in terms of the improv principles to get what we improvers like to call the improv mindset, it has to do with creating an atmosphere where it's okay, in the practice atmosphere of the improv training, to make mistakes. We call mistakes gifts in the improv world. Because why? Because it's fictional.
Yeah.
But just like a football player or has to go to the gym and build up their muscles, or a ballerina, you know, they go stretch and do all those, you know, anybody who does anything professionally for a living has a way they go and work out the kinks or work out, you know, to strengthen whatever they do. Yep. And that's what this is. This is not, you know, comedy training. So improv for performance training is quite a bit different. Not totally, but quite a bit different, because the emphasis is different. The emphasis is always on relationship building, even on stage, which is what makes it so great. But when I started teaching improv to businesses, it's really about making the atmosphere comfortable and conducive to maybe being vulnerable enough to look a little silly, to make that kind of mistakes, to have an experience where you laugh together. And the automatic outcome of that is you get along with people that you didn't want to get along with at all before.
Yep. Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of this great interview with Dr. Candy Campbell. Now, we've been talking about improv to improve healthcare. We've been talking about what she's been doing for her whole career, but at the same time, using improv to improve your management style, using improv to improve your business results, your business climate. How do you do that? By going and being an improv comedian? No. The point behind what we're talking about is things hardly ever go strictly according to plan. You have the best laid plans, but then there's going to be the adjustments along the way. How you react to these adjustments is how your team will react to the adjustments, how your management team will react to your adjustments. And folks, you got to go into it with confidence, knowing that no matter what happens, you're going to adjust. No matter what happens, you're going to handle this. And that's what she's been sharing with us today. Now, at the time this is being released, this is just great. Candy is performing her solo act as Florence Nightingale just off Broadway. She's talking about the same things that we're talking about, the healthcare and all that, the management style, but she's doing it off Broadway, just off Broadway. Basically, you can say she's got her own Broadway act, but it's just off Broadway. But the links to this are down in the show notes below. All you have to do is go down there, click the link, order your tickets. If you are in the New York City area, you need to go catch her performance. folks, I've seen the videos of it, and it is absolutely astounding. Amen. And if you get a chance to meet her after the show, be sure you tell her Pastor Bob sent you. Amen. Until next time, well, there is going to be a next time, because this is just part two of what turned out to be a great three-part interview with Dr. Candy Campbell. Amen. So be sure to come back for the final episode, the conclusion of our interview with Dr. Candace Campbell in the very next episode. Till then, it's Pastor Bob Ryan. Be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.